Let's begin reading in 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because of him, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were the prophet, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Boy, it's a blessing, that little maid. She said, "You know, I know a way that Naaman can be healed." And all she did was tell what she knew. Then it got, the word got around to him. And then in verse 5, the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And when he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and a lot of money, and 10 changes of raiment, those were not Goodwill clothes either, amen. Those were 10 changes of very expensive clothing. He brought the letter in verse 6 to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Isn't it interesting how the story changed from... You ever played that game? What is that game? Where you tell something to somebody and goes around in a circle, and by the time it gets to the last person, the whole story is completely different. The little maid said, "Naaman needs to go talk to the prophet in Samaria." And the king got the word that he needed to go talk to the king. Now that everything was upside down. It came to pass in verse 7, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." See, now there's about to be a war between Israel and Syria because they didn't listen. The little maid said he needs to go see the preacher. He needs to go see the man of God so that he can get help. And they sent him to the president, the king. What a mess. Verse 8. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes?" In other words, what's going on down there in the castle? "Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Let me leave off reading there tonight. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray for your help tonight. I want to be a help always to your people. Lord, they're not here because they have to be. Lord, they're here because they want to hear from you. They need to hear from you. We all do. So God, I pray tonight that you would speak to us. Now fill us with your spirit. Our hearts, our minds would be completely yielded, God, to thee. We plead the blood of Jesus. We beg you, Lord, to bind Satan now. Don't let him hinder what you want to do here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you tonight, and I know there's lots of things in this story. The Bible is so rich. It is so full. I can read these 10 verses, and I could go 14 different directions, and I just love the Bible. I love how the Word of God makes us want to... that reminds me of that verse. That reminds me of that story. That reminds me... Oh, yeah, that would be good. And by the way, if you don't know your Bible, that's why it's not alive to you. Because you don't know what those other stories I'm talking about. But keep reading it. Keep studying it. Stay in church, amen. And you will come to the place where you read a passage of Scripture and your mind just goes, "Wow, this... Wow, boom, 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 boom." It just goes all over the place because your heart is filled with the Word of God. But you, once in a while, as a preacher, unless you're Brother Lester Roloff, you have to nail something down and not go 14 different directions at once, like he always did. But tonight I want to talk to you about specific thing that the Lord laid on my heart using this text, and it's a little bit unusual. You probably didn't pick it out from the reading. But I want to talk to you about God's will for your life. I want to talk to you about God's will for your life. Now, I'm talking about God's general will for all Christians. Now, God has a specific will for every individual Christian. Like exactly where you're to go, who you're to marry, what church you're to serve in, if you're to be a preacher, a missionary, what job you're supposed to work. Those are specific details that God has for your life. Don't ever think that God is just up there in heaven rolling the dice and say, well, let's see what's going to happen with Ethan today. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That is not the God of heaven. God has a very specific plan for your life. God has a very specific purpose for you today in 2015. Miss Ophelia's race finished on May, whatever day that was, 28th. Her race finished, but your race is still here. You still have a race that God has laid out before you to run. That is what God's will is for your life. It's a very specific will. There's turns in the race. There's hills and there's valleys. There's ups and downs, but it's a very specific will for your life. It's what God wants for you to do. But there's also a very generic will for all Christians. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. For all Christians, God's will for your life. Notice in verse 1, Naaman was the captain of the Syrian army, the host of the king of Syria. He was next in charge to the king of Syria. He was also a great man with his master. The king loved him. He was a very important part of the nation of Syria, which in this time was a very powerful nation. He was well liked. His master liked him. His master respected him. He was an obedient servant. He was honorable. The Bible says, honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was even used of God for a specific purpose. He was a mighty man of valor. He was brave. He was a warrior. He was a soldier. He was a brave man. And all of those things sound wonderful. Man, that was a very well-respected example of man, a man's man. But, he was a leper. In the Bible, leprosy is always a type of sin. Leprosy is a disease that eats you alive. Your skin literally begins to fall off. The meat begins to fall off of your bones, and your body literally just kind of decomposes, rots, and it's incurable, humanly speaking. Still, today, there's leper colonies over in India and in parts of Asia and Africa still. But in the Bible, it's always a type, a symbol. It always represents sin. Because listen to me, church, that's all sin does is destroy you a little bit at a time. Sometimes it takes big chunks of your body off. Sometimes it just little bits fall off here and there. But no matter what, sin always eats you alive. You better listen to me. Naaman was a well-respected man. Naaman was a mighty man. Naaman had won battles. Naaman was honorable. Naaman was, second in command there in Syria. But it doesn't matter how many great things that you can write down. If you are still not saved, you have no hope. You will never go to heaven. But I want you to understand something. You will never be right with God either as long as you continue in sin. God's will for all men. Number one, that they be saved. That they be born again. Why? Because a saved man is washed from all of his sin. A saved man is cleansed from all unrighteousness. A saved man comes under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his own blood washes them from all iniquity. A saved man is clean. The leprosy, the sin, is washed away. Psalm chapter 5 verse 4 tells us, Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. God cannot dwell with evil. It's not going to happen. So God wants, you know, God actually wants you. He actually wanted you to go to heaven. That's why He saved you. He wanted you to be clean. Why? So you could come to heaven. So you could dwell with Him. So you could walk with Him. So you could know Him. So, because He cannot dwell with evil. The Bible says in Psalm 29:2, Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is just another word for spiritual cleanliness. When God saves us, the Bible says that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, He became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The righteousness of God is the same as the holiness of God, is the same as the purity of God, the cleanliness of God. God's a clean, holy, righteous, and pure God. And see, we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Because to God, cleanliness is beautiful. To God, He, when He saves us, He wants us to be clean so that we can be with Him. Amen. Now you remember I preached to you on Wednesday night that there shall in no wise enter into that new city, Jerusalem, anything that defileth. What does it mean to defile? It means to make dirty. It means to make dirty. So all of our sins are washed away when we get saved. Why? Because God wants us to be clean. Because God wants us to have a relationship with Him. It's God's will for all men to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to... But listen now. It's also God's will for all men that once you get saved, you stay clean. You stay clean. And that's where we run into a big mess. God has a will for your life to be clean. To be pure. He says to be an example of the believer in purity. Who's He say that to? All of us. Especially the preachers, but all of us. An example of the believer in faith, in hope, in charity, but He says in purity. That means, listen, in cleanliness. God's will for your life, Christian, is that you be clean. 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 The devil also has a will for your life. I want you to just sit there and listen to me now, but Isaiah 14 says this, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That's Satan. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? You know why nations are weak? Lucifer. Thou hast said in thine heart, notice now, listen, pay attention. Satan said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan has a will too. God's will is that you be clean. Now, Satan says, I want you to just do whatever you want to do. What Satan said in Isaiah chapter 14, when God cast him out of heaven. That scripture ends, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Why was Satan cast out of heaven? Why is Satan such a fierce enemy of God? Because Satan wanted things his way. But God had a will for Satan. God created Satan for a specific purpose, to be the angel, the cherubim that covereth. God created Satan. Yes, he was a beautiful angel, and he was a musical angel. And by the way, that's why there's so much wickedness in music today, because Satan was created a very musical being. But that's another message. But Satan said, I will ascend to the Most High. I will exalt my throne. I'll sit where I want to sit. I'll ascend where I want to sit. I'll be like the Most High. I will. I will do what I want to do. God says, you will be how I created you. Satan says, I will do what I want to do. And so Satan has a will too. And it's 100% against God. And what it is? For you to do whatever you want to do. Let me tell you something. God says, I want you to be clean. Satan says, I want you to do whatever you want to do. Why? Because when you start doing whatever you want to do, you're going to get dirty. Because you're rebelling against God. You're rebelling. You know what it means to rebel? It means to know what you're supposed to do, but openly, willfully, with your will, decide, I don't want what God says. I don't want what the Bible says. I want to do it my way. And that's exactly what Satan still says today. Naaman was a well-respected man, but he was a leper. He was dirty. He was tainted. He was defiled. He was never going to make it to heaven. But I want to look at him as a Christian. You can be just as saved as anybody else. But God still knows when there's sin in your life. Willful. I'm not talking about secret sins that you don't really know about. I'm talking about things that you willfully are doing regardless of what God says, regardless of what the preacher says, regardless of what the Bible says, regardless of what your mom and dad say, you're going to do it anyway. You are in 100% rebellion against the will of God. God wants us to be clean. That little maid said, I know what Naaman needs. He needs to go to the man of God so he can get clean. Now, the man of God didn't clean him. I can't clean you. But the God of the man can. The man of God is just going to help you get to where you need to be so you can be clean. I'm going to give you some areas in your life that need to be clean. And I'm just going to read you some verses because I don't have to go to every one of these verses. But some areas in your life the Bible says that need to be clean. Your hands need to be clean. James chapter 4 verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And he says, How am I going to get near to God? He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Cleanse your hands. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it means, you know what, you need to do things with your hands that are godly. You need not to take things in your hands that are sinful and unclean. I mean, well, of course, the first thing that would come to mind, you know, would be alcoholic beverages, beer, wine, liquor, cigarettes, drugs. Uh-oh. That's... Now you're getting all over. God says that your hands are to be clean. That means, and he says, you cleanse your hands, sinners. And then he says, purify your hearts. Do you double-minded? Your hearts are to be clean. That's where it all starts. Your hearts are to be clean. You can't cleanse your heart. You can't get in there and literally clean your heart. But he said, purify your hearts. Well, he said, that means it's up to you how close you want to be to God by your hands being clean, your hearts being pure. Pure is another word for clean. It's God's will that your hands be clean. It's God's will that your heart be clean. It's God's will, according to Romans chapter 12, that your mind be clean. Oh, boy. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it says, why? So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You won't ever know what cleanliness is. You won't ever know what it means to be in the will of God, a clean vessel, until your mind is clean. And here's where Satan loves to work, especially in you teenagers, you children, and you young Christians, but all of us. The mind of people, you sit there and you are looking at me with your eyeballs, and you're sitting in church, but I don't know what's going on in your mind right now. You could be thinking anything. Now God knows, and you know, but He says, need to renew your mind so you can know what that will is. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be cleansed. It needs to be transformed. Your mind, your thoughts, pure. In other words, the things that go through here need to be clean, need to be according to God's word and God's will for your life. The thought, you say, well, preacher, I can't, you know, every once in a while a thought just pops in there. I know that. Of course I know that, especially those of you who got saved later in life. You heard things when you were a kid. You hear things still today, and things go in there, and your thoughts, and like, well, first thing you need to do is eliminate all of that junk out of your life that's making you think those things. And then secondly, when you do have those thoughts, you need to renew your mind with the Word of God. Renewing your mind. They say, you know, somebody said one time, you know, a bird can fly over your head once in a while, but it doesn't have to stop and make a nest in your hair. You're going to have bad thoughts. You're going to have wicked thoughts, but you don't have to let them nest there. You renew your mind. Get rid of it. Purge it. Get that out of there. It's a battle. I know that. But God's will for your life is that you have a clean mind. God's will for your life, Christian, is that you have a clean body. This is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor. A clean body doesn't just mean you take a bath. Now, dear God, I hope you take a bath. That is God's will for your life. Let me just go ahead and point that out. Take a bath. Wash the dirt off of your filth, your skin. I mean, for goodness sakes, nobody wants to smell you. You shouldn't want to smell yourself. Now, if you're working out in the fields all day, that's one thing. But when you get home, take a bath. Take a shower. Amen, teenagers, boys. But it's getting to the point, man. I'm telling you, there's some people, they're grown-ups, and you walk in and knock on their door, and they open the door, and you think, my soul, you are filthy. That's the first thing you see is dirt. Their shirt looks like they've eaten 14 days of meals, and it's all over their shirt. Their hair's all over the place. They stink. They're filthy, dirty. They got boogers hanging out of their nose. They're filthy, and they're not even children. They're adults. Now, and then they say, oh, I'm saved. Now, we laugh, but do you think that's honoring to God? Do you think that's God's will for a Christian? But it's not just taking a bath. How about all the tattooing and the piercing? Uh-huh. That body belongs to God. It's God's will that your body be clean. Clean. It's God's will that your body be clean. It's also speaking of sexual purity, people. Listen, you are not to touch another boy, girls, or another girl, boys, until you get married. Amen. What? Are you kidding me, preacher? You don't know what's going on out there. I know what's going on out there. That's why I'm telling you that. Amen. You're not to touch another boy or another girl until you get married. That's God's will for your life. Now, you can rebel all you want to. And I'm going to tell you here in a little while what happens when you do. But that's God's will. You know what? When a young man and a young boy stand up here and get married, it ain't never happened here yet. God's will is that they had never touched another person in any way, other than maybe their mom and dad, brothers and sisters. You understand what I'm talking about. Inappropriately. Because God is desired that you keep your body pure. That's God's will for your life. God's will, you have a clean body. God's will is that you have a clean attitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." As soon as you stop giving thanks, your attitude starts stinking. I know, nobody's going to escape here tonight. We're all going to get hit somewhere. I'm telling you what, I had to write this. God's already preached this to me. I'm just passing it along to you, amen, to be a blessing like it was to me. But you are, something's wrong in your heart when you stop thanking God for what's going on. Now listen to me now. God says it's God's will for you that you give thanks in all things, in everything. Giving thanks always for all things. If you've been to my house, you've seen it on my wall. Boom, boom, boom. Why is that? Because that's one of our biggest problems. Because that is what God wants me to do. No matter what happens, am I thankful that my dear sister is gone? Well, that's what God's will is, that I be thankful. Or else I'm going to start getting a rotten attitude. I'm going to start thinking wrong thoughts. My mind's going to get polluted. Things are going to start getting wrong. My attitude's going to start stinking because I'm not thankful. When I tell God I'm thankful, you know what I'm doing? I'm telling God, okay, God, I trust you. I believe you. You're right. I'm always on your side by faith. I trust you. Thank you, God, for the pain. Thank you, God, for the hurt. Thank you, God, because I know you're going to do something for me through this. I'm just going to love you anyway. A clean attitude. God's will for every Christian is to have a clean attitude. God's will for every Christian is to have a clean mouth. He said, "Preacher, I don't cuss anymore." Well, that's a good start. But let me say, there's a lot more to it than just cussing. How do you talk to other people? The Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." When you say something to somebody, God says, you need to try, you're trying to build them up. It's to the use of edifying. They may minister grace to the hearers. Hey, let me just be real transparent with you. I just had to tell my family, I'm sorry. Just yesterday. But I told you, this is not just for you. I'm a sinner too. And I said some, the things were all right that I said. I just didn't say it with the right attitude. And I had to tell them I was sorry. Now, if you don't ever want to come back to church because your preacher's imperfect, I'm sorry to you too. But our mouths are lethal weapons. The power of life and death, the Bible says, is in the tongue. What comes out of my mouth can kill somebody. Literally, it might as well. Emotionally, spiritually, you name it. It can kill somebody, but it can also give them life. I go witnessing to somebody. I go telling you, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. I know you're hurting. I'm praying for you. And that's the same tongue that can edify somebody. Lift them up. Encourage them. Be nice to them. Say something nice and helpful to each other. And don't, but you know what we have? We have brothers and sisters who have to see each other all the time. They know everything about each other. And you know what? I'm sorry, you're not an exception. Amen. You're still not to let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Amen. Your mouth is to be clean. I don't know why Dalen's looking at me like that. But folks, listen, God's will is that we be clean. Can I think of anything else? If you can think of something else, then go ahead and mark it down in your notes. That needs to be clean too. Amen. Everything about God is holy. You remember last year's theme? Be ye holy. Why? Because that's God's will for our lives, that we be clean. Our bodies, our minds, our hands. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, little ears. Well, it's not just little. When they get bigger, they still got to be careful. Because God is saying, I want you to be clean. Clean. In every area of your life. Boy, that's a tall order. I know that. But I want you to understand something. I'm going to show you how to do it quickly here in 2 Kings chapter 5. There's areas to be clean, but God gives us the avenue. The avenue to being clean. The road that we need to walk down. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. Naaman was filthy with leprosy. Oh, he had all kinds of good qualities. Let me stop right here. You have all kinds of good things going on, good qualities. You're in church, you're saved, you've been baptized, as far as I know, most of you. You're coming to Sunday school, you're coming to church, most of you are going soul winning. You're trying to do right, and you're not out killing people. I understand that. But if there's sin in your life, somewhere in the areas that I just mentioned, and I guarantee you there is, or you're just not paying attention, there's sin in our lives somewhere all the time. God says, I want it to be clean. So he says, I know that you're not killing people. I know that, but listen, you need to be clean. You need to clean up the area of your life. So he's going to tell us quickly here. Here's how it works. Verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, here's what you need to be clean. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now stop, that is not anything to do with baptism. Okay? It had nothing to do with baptism. Baptism didn't clean you up at all. Look in verse 11. Naaman was wroth. Angry, that means angry. And went away. And said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And he says in verse 12, are not Abana and Phapar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Here's what he's saying. Why did that preacher come out here and pray over me and slap his hands together and you're healed, you're clean? Why does he think I've got to go do something? And not especially the Jordan River. And he names the rivers in Damascus. Damascus is Syria, where he's from. Jordan River is in Israel, God's country. So he's saying, you mean I've got to go do something? You mean I've got to go wash in the Jordan River? I've got to go wash. He said, I'm angry. I'm leaving. I'm not going to do it. Sounds like a whole lot of people that sit in these pews. When God says, you need to be clean. You need to go and wash. You're not going to do it for me? I'm telling you what God says. Elisha didn't even come out. He sent a messenger. Go tell that Syrian captain of the host, he's just as filthy as anybody else. He needs to do what anybody else should do. Go and wash. What does that mean, preacher? Go and wash. That means you are not just going to keep on being, you're not going to be able to just keep on living the same old life you've always lived and be clean. It's not going to happen mysteriously. Magically, you're going to have to go and wash. You're going to have to go home and clean house. You're going to have to go to the problem areas and wash. You're going to have to take action. It ain't going to happen automatically. See, some of you are getting wroth like Naaman. He said, go and wash. You know, you could sit here and pray all day long at this altar. That ain't going to clean you up until you make some changes.
That's right.
Changes. Most of the thoughts you have are because of the things you're putting in your mind. Stop putting them in your mind. Wash. Most of the thoughts you have, the things that you do that are wrong, is because you're hanging around people that are wanting you to do them, so you feel pressure. And so you need to get rid of those friends. Wash. Go and wash. It's not going to just happen, sweetheart. God's will, remember, is fought tooth and nail by Satan's will. Satan says, are you kidding me? You don't have to do anything. Do what you want to do. Forget about it. Who cares? You're okay. God says, go and wash. When your mom tells you, or your dad tells you, go wash, you stink. What happens if you just go crawl on the bed like that? First of all, you'd be gross. Second of all, we'll get into the consequences here in a minute. But the first thing that would happen to him is his backside would be real sore, and then he would still have to go wash. So why make it so much worse? Just go wash.
Amen. That's right.
I always try to find the source of the problem. What is it that's making you think those things? What is it that's making you want to do the things with your hands that you're not supposed to be doing? Well, it's just habit. I'm talking about that in a minute. It's just years and years of it, preacher. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But the things that you can do, that you can change who you run with. You can change where you hang out. You can change the music you listen to. You can turn off that rotten television. You can go wash.
Amen.
You can. If you don't, it's not because God didn't tell you. It's not because the preacher didn't tell you. It's because you got wroth, just like Naaman, and you just want to stay dirty. Out of the will of God, in the will of Satan. I don't know how plainer I can put it to you. The first thing is you got to go wash. You got to go make some changes. I can't take the tattoos off. I know that. You can take the earrings out, men. Those are for women. You can go wash. Change what can be changed. Put it that way. Okay? And then, secondly, God says, I know some things you can't change. But I want you to go wash. Don't just give me lip service. Go wash. That's what God's saying. Secondly, you got to wash in God's water. Naaman got raw. He said, What about the rivers of Damascus? That's where I'm from. Those are my rivers. Damascus of Syria. That's my water. I want to wash my way. God says, go wash in the river of Jordan in Israel. My water. Go wash in my water. Now, I don't have time tonight, but in John chapter 7, Jesus said a lot about the Holy Spirit welling up in him a river of life, and it's talking about the water being the Spirit of God. I'm telling you something today that you're going to have to go wash, yes, but and you say, well, I can't change the things that I've already done. They're permanent, maybe this and that and the other, but what you do is you go wash and the things that you can, and then you leave up to God's Holy Spirit to clean up the things that you can in His water. You walk in the Spirit of God. I'm talking about the water of God's Holy Spirit. I'm talking about going to God in prayer and saying, God, I can't clean this up. God, I'm going to have a hard time breaking this habit. I know that cigarettes are hard. Listen, this dear lady quit after 32 years. Not because she was different. Because God just got a hold of her heart. The Holy Spirit got a hold of her heart. And every time she got a chance, she said, I thank God that I quit smoking. I know it's not easy. I'm not saying it's going to be an overnight thing. But through God's Holy Spirit and God's power, you can clean up.
Amen.
You can. But the problem is, you're trying to do it in the world's water. He said, why can't I do it in my water? My water, my rivers are cleaner. My rivers are more comfortable. My rivers are less convicting. God said, go use my water in Israel. You see, you're trying to go wash, maybe, but you're trying to do it in your water, in the world's water, instead of God's water. Well, how do I get a hold of God's water? Well, I'm glad you asked. He said, go, look in verse 10. He said, go and wash in Jordan, God's water, seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. I want you to understand something. It was God's man sending a message to Naaman. It was go wash in God's water, according to God's word. That is not oversimplified. That's all I can tell you. That's the method. Don't look at me like I never had to overcome these things. I just don't tell you everything I used to do because I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. And I don't want you to think, well, he used to do it, I can do it. No, I'm not going to do that. Don't look at me like, well, you're just the preacher. You don't know what it means. No, that's not true. I'm telling you what God will tell you and what God has told thousands and millions of other people is that you go wash through the Spirit of God according to His Word. You get in the book and you walk in His Spirit and every day you spend time with Him and He starts to convict you about that sin. He starts to give you a hard time. You can't do it anymore without breaking your heart. You pick up that cigarette and you think, dear God, I'm rebelling against God. You try to drink that beer. Dear God, I'm rebelling against God. And you say, that doesn't work. Try it. That's the only way, by the way. Go wash in God's water according to God's word. How am I going to get clean? Preacher, you don't understand. I do understand. I do understand. The things that you can't clean up, I understand that. They're forgiven anyway, but you can cover them up. Don't glorify them. Don't put them on show parade so everybody can see them. Cleanliness is God's will for all of our lives. Some of you are already fighting me right now. You're saying, preacher, you just don't understand. I do understand. But I'm not going to change the method or the message for you. And neither is God. Because you will not ever get clean in your own water. You will never get clean according to what they say. You've got to wash according to God's water and His Word.
Amen.
Naaman got wroth. He got angry, man. Oh, he got angry. But the avenue to cleanliness, and a clean life is right there in verse 10. Go wash God's water according to God's word. Now I want to quickly show you some advantages of being clean. What are the advantages? Why do I care about being in God's will? Well, hopefully, I shouldn't have to tell you that, but I'm going to anyway. Why should I care about being in God's will? Let's read on here in 2 Kings chapter 5. He got mad. He went away in a rage, verse 12. Boy, I've seen that happen already before many people. The Word of God tells them, they turn around and go away in a rage. Verse 13, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do something great or do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? So a simple little servant, which I believe is a picture of, again, God's Holy Spirit. At first, when Naaman first heard it, like some of you right now, you're thinking, you're unreasonable. And then the little servant came up to him and said, he didn't ask you to do anything hard. He just asked you to go wash in his water according to his word. And then Naaman said, you know, I'm the captain of the host. I'm next in charge in Syria, all of the land of Syria. I'm a well-respected, honorable man. But you know what, little servant? You're right. I just about ruined my whole... I just about went away and stayed filthy and said, verse 14, he went down. He dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the what? The saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And notice, he was what? Clean. You know what the advantages of being in the will of God are? Quickly, answered prayer. This is what he wanted. This is what he wanted. This is what he was asking for. This is what he was requesting. He got what he most desired. Why? Because he stayed in the will of God. He did it according to God's word and God's water. He went and washed. His greatest prayer. He had everything, man. He had everything, but he was a leper. So his greatest need was answered. Answered prayer. I want to show you something. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture now. We're going to be back, but I want to show you some things here. Look in John chapter 9, verse 31. John chapter 9, verse 31. Answered prayer in God's will. Clean life. John 9, 31. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. What? But if any man be a worshiper of God, notice, and doeth his will, him he heareth. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this, 1 John 5, 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him. We know that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Wow! Did you hear what I just said? We know we have. We know that He will hear us and answer. Why? Because we're living according to His will. We're asking according to His will. We are doing His will. My prayers will be answered. You know what? I don't have to add this in here, but when you're not in His will, you don't have this confidence. You know, you're going to go to God and say, God, my heart's cry is this right here. And God's going to say, well, clean up. And then we'll talk about it. You stink. Go wash and then come talk to me about it. And you're going to say, but God. But He's going to say, but nothing. Go clean up. You know, God is not a vending machine where you put a quarter in and get what you want. That's mockery. God's more interested in the cleanliness of your heart, your life, and then He rewards you for doing His will by answering your prayers. answered prayer. Boy, I think that right there is, boy, that's a blessing. That's a definite advantage to being in the will of God, to being clean. He got his prayers answered. Now, turn back. 2 Kings chapter 5. Not only did he get his answers to prayer, his greatest need was met right there. He got exactly what he asked for. He also, verse 14, he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. 7 times is God's number of completion. It's not just a coincidence that it was 7 times. 7 times is God's number of perfection. 7 is God's number. He, to his life, not only did he have answered prayer, but God added to his life patience. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Don't get grumpy. Count it joy. Knowing this, there's that confidence again, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What worketh patience? Verse 4 says something interesting. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Patience makes you a perfect Christian. No, I didn't say without sin. I said perfect and entire, complete, mature. You see, he had to dip in there 7 times. So I know it didn't take him long to dip 7 times, but it did take him longer than dipping 1 time, or 2 times, or 3 times. You got that? Yeah, I'm not going to count for you. Karina started counting with me, so I figured, yeah, she understands. He had to learn patience. God, when he tells you to do something, he's testing your faith to teach you patience. Why? Because patience makes you perfect. Patience makes you able to take and withstand any trial, any temptation, anything that comes your way. Patience. Lord, thank you for the trials, because you're teaching me faith, which is growing my patience. But verse 4 is key. It says, let patience. Let God do what he's doing. Don't beat your way out of it. Let God give you patience. Allow God to grow you. Allow God to teach you. You fall down, you get back up. You fall down, you get back up. A just man falleth how many times? 7. You think that's a coincidence? No. He riseth up again. 7 is a number of completion, perfection. It's God's number. When you see it's down number 7 throughout the Bible, think that's perfection, that's completion, that's God. 7 times. Go wash in God's water, according to God's word. You'll see answered prayer. You'll have added patience to your life. You'll be a more perfect, entire. You'll be able to sit still. You'll be able to do things that you don't want to do. Because you'll be patient. You'll keep praying, even when you don't see the answer right away, because you'll be patient. And in faith, again, you'll have the confidence. God will say, you need to clean this up. And you'll go do it and patiently come back and pray again, knowing that he's perfect. knowing that he's working. And you're going to be a better Christian. Because not only are you going to be clean, but you're going to learn patience. Answered prayer. Added patience. Go back to 2 Kings. Verse 15. After he got clean, after he got right, got in the will of God, he returned to the man of God. I love that. He returned, verse 15, to the man of God. Advantages of being in the will of God is you will stay in the assembly of the saints. Hey, listen, you'll stay in church. You see, when the preacher comes down and preaches about being clean, and you say, I can't, and you get mad, you get out of the will of God, guess where you're going to go? Out of church. You're not going to return to the man of God. Like so many people have already done. Don't return to the man of God until you realize, I need to be clean. God was right. And see, when you get clean, you're going to be thankful that God told you what you needed to hear. Now, you're not ever going to do that until you get clean. You're going to be fighting and arguing and fighting and fighting and fighting, doing it your way until you get clean. And you're going to say, ah, man, I'm going to return to the man of God. I'm going to go back. I'm going to stay in church. Because God cleaned me up. God helped me get here. God's teaching me patience. He's answering prayer. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right there with the man of God in the house of God. In church. People take church so lightly. You know why a preacher preaches and scathes you like that? Because he's trying to clean you up. Amen. I told you he already preaches to me. Don't you think I'm just sitting up here, yeah, I'm just blah, 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 blah. This all pounds on me before I ever get to preach it to you. I mean, you don't think this just, you don't think I just got this out of a book somewhere, do you? No. Let me just enlighten you. No. I got it out of that book. The Holy Spirit. And he pounds on me, and then I get to preach it to you. But not until he pounds on me. And he's doing it, why? To help us, to clean us up. So he can answer our prayers. So he can add patience to our life. So he can keep us in the assembly of the saints with the Christians, with the man of God, where there's more preaching that will help us even more, grow us even more. It won't be a burden. He returned to the man of God. He had a much better relationship with his family, his church family. He wasn't so angry at the man of God anymore. He was glad that the man of God told him what he needed to hear. You see, his whole attitude was changed about his church, about the man of God, the preacher. And finally, I'm jumping over a lot here, but finally, verse 15, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He wanted to give, but that's not what I'm focusing on here. His whole attitude was changed. You understand what I'm saying here? This whole man, this man was completely different. Not just he was no longer leprous. He was just had a new attitude, a new outlook. But I want you to understand something. He says, now I know. God added to that man biblical understanding, wisdom. You know why some of you don't know the Bible like you should? Because you're not clean. That book is God's pure word. And when you get into it, it says you need to clean up so you don't get into it. Forget that. Click, click, click. What's on TV? And you're just getting filthier and filthier and filthier. So you preach about the TV a lot. I know. I hate it. I hate it. Your church ain't never going to grow, preacher, if you keep preaching against what everybody loves so much. I'm trying to tell you that you need to clean up. God's trying to tell you you need to clean up. But not because it's going to hurt you. I mean, when he gets out of the shower, he smells better. He's cleaner. And he can go to bed and not filthy and, you know, dirty up his sheets. You feel better when you get out of the shower, don't you? I don't know why when I was his age I fought it. Why do people not shower? Why do people not clean themselves? It always feels better. It's always refreshing. Well, that's what God's trying to tell us. But I want you to understand there's definite advantages. He had his prayers answered. Patience was added to his life. He was a more perfect, he was glad to return to the man of God, return to the house of God, return to this assembly of the saints. But he had added wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, and I'm done. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 23. Proverbs 1, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. A reproof is a correction. A reproof is when somebody tells you that's wrong, you need to fix it. God says, turn you at my reproof. He says, when I tell you to clean up, clean up. When I tell you you're going the wrong way, turn. He says, if you'll do that, notice what he says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Whew. Wow. Are you kidding me? God says, I will pour out my spirit unto you if you'll do what I say. And then, not only that, I will make known my words unto you. I love that verse. That verse always encourages me when God slaps me and says, you are wrong, you need to clean up. I say, thank you, God. I'm looking forward to you pouring out your spirit unto me. I'm looking forward to getting more wisdom. I'm looking forward to knowing your words even more so. And I'm going to turn. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to clean up this part of my life. I'm going to go ask somebody to forgive me. I was wrong. I'm going to go do what I need to do to clean up my words, my mouth, my body, my mind, my heart, my hands. I'm going to clean up whatever God has told me to clean up, because that way when I get into the book, it is going to be real to me. He says, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. Wow. You can't understand this book without the Spirit. It's a spiritual book. You can't understand this book when you're in rebellion against God. It's been said, and I know it's trite, sin will keep you from this book. Or, this book will keep you from sin. It's really up to you. God says, if you'll turn, if you'll change, if you'll clean up, I'll pour out my spirit. Boy, that's not a little baby dropper. He didn't say, open your mouth and let me give you a little drop of baby spoon. He said, I will pour it out with buckets, amen. I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour out my spirit unto you. There's no shortage of God's spirit.
Amen.
There's no shortage of God's power. There's no shortage of God's ability. There's no limit to God's spirit. There's no limit to God's wisdom. He says, I want to give it to you, but you're going to have to clean up. I want to give it to you. He says, I know you need it, but it's not going to happen until you clean up. Because I'm holy. I can't dwell with evil. I'm saved. I know you're saved. But every day, dirt just You know, did I tell you this story? When I was growing up, my dad was a missionary. And we would go around church to church to church and present, you know, like you saw the missions conference, slides and things. Well, we would go around and my dad would show pictures and back then it was still slides. There was no PowerPoints or DVDs. No movies. It was a click, 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 click. And he would introduce our family and he would say, you know, this is Eric, he was my older brother who passed away. I can't remember what he said about him. My sister was last and she was the apple of my eye. The baby girl. I'm supposed to be clean, I know. I love her. But here I was in the middle. And here's how he introduced me. Here's Glenn. He's my cookie monster and my dirt magnet. Dirt magnet. Dirt magnet. That was my dad's introduction of his middle son. Dirt magnet. I just love that part. Can you tell I'm still traumatized? Dirt magnet. But let me say something to you. It was true. Dirt just jumped on me. It just jumped on me. I don't know how. Every time. I was always dirty. Short, fat, and dirty. What a wonderful picture you just got, huh? I remember we lived in North Carolina, and there's a lot of red dirt in North Carolina. Not red dirt around here. Red clay dirt. That it stains your clothes for life. And there was a little hill right beside our house. And it was a perfect little slide just to sit down on your backside and slide down the hill. Well, all of my shorts were red. And you couldn't, they wouldn't come clean. Dirt magnet. Dirt magnet. Cookie monster, that's okay. I still love homemade, fresh, hot chocolate chip cookies. I know Miss Ophelia's gone. She would make me some. Maybe one of y'all wouldn't mind, but. Dirt magnet, though, that part. Well, in reality, spiritually speaking, we're all dirt magnets. Aren't we? This world has dirt everywhere and it just jumps on us everywhere we go. We can clean up. We can clean up and we need to clean up all the time. Renewal, renewal, spiritual renewal, 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 spiritual bathing. Sometimes I go somewhere, my wife and I will go and we'll go home. We'll say, man, I feel like I need to take a spiritual bath. And then you do clean up. That's God's will for your life. Answered prayer, added patience. Assembled with the saints more often. Amen. But also, and also, don't forget, added wisdom. Man, those are tremendous blessings. Can I say, if you don't clean up, there's no such promises. Heavenly Father, I pray you bless your word tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word and how it just hits us right where we live. God, I pray that you would help us.